I want to turn to Colossians chapter 3. And I want to begin reading in verse 8. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. I'm going to stop right there. Well, no. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are also called. Also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Couldn't leave that out. Paul is writing here to the saints at Colossae. And faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. This is a message to believers. Now, he had been visited in Rome by Epaphras. He came to see Paul. Paul was in prison. Again, I thought he said it in here too. He does probably somewhere else. He says he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Not a prisoner of Rome. He's in Rome, but he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. But Epaphras came to see Paul and told Paul about the people of Colossae, their love in the Spirit, their order, their steadfastness of faith in Christ Jesus. And Paul wrote this letter to them. Plus he told them some other things. And chapter 1 and verse 23, Paul writes, continue. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. The gospel is not our hope, but the true gospel is the preaching of him who is our hope.
Amen.
That's what Paul's saying here. Be not moved from the hope of the gospel. Be not moved from Christ. That's a message. Be not moved from him who is the hope of the gospel, which you heard. How rare is that in these days? It was preached to every creature, but you heard. Everyone doesn't hear. The word preached was preached unto them as well as unto us, but they didn't hear it. They didn't receive it. They don't believe it. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Same is true of the Colossians. everyone does not hear like believers hear. Everyone does not. But Paul states, continue, just as our Lord did. Christ said, if you continue not, you're not my disciple. Paul says, continue, because if you don't continue, you're moving away from the hope of the gospel. You're moving away from Christ. There are people who have abandoned us. Let's just put it plainly. They've left this place. Some of them left very mad. But it's not us they're abandoning. It's not. Even when they are, they're abandoning the hope of the gospel. They go out from us that it may be made manifest that they were not of us. That's what it says. That's what it is. And they have moved away from the hope of the gospel. And that's a condemnation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what that is. If you can leave Christ, you don't know Christ.
Right.
If you can leave Christ, you never have known Him. That's what John said. It's just being manifested. It's just being made known that you are not of us. Because if you move away from His gospel, you are moving away from Him.
Yes.
Who is the gospel?
Yes.
Who is the hope of the gospel? Then in chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul writes, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Evidently, Epaphras had spoken to Paul of some concerns that he had, some problems he had in Colossae. And Paul is addressing them here with some teaching philosophy, empty lies, that's vain deceit, after the tradition of men, the earthly knowledge of the world. Now, I have nothing against knowledge. I like knowledge. Even the earthly knowledge of this world. But you do not supplant the truth of Christ with the knowledge of this world. If you know Christ, you will see, as this world cannot see, how this world is held together by Him. There are many, many things that most of the time will not be told you about the earthly knowledge of this world, is they don't know how it works. It's gravity. Well, explain gravity. I can't. I know that the bigger the body, the greater the attraction. But why? We're not sure. We know electricity flows from here to there. But we really don't know for sure what's flowing. And I've seen lightning fall from the sky. I haven't normally seen it hit the earth, but it hits somewhere. They still can't explain it. What actually? Well, it's the flow of electrons. That's the answer you'll get in the textbooks. I studied it. I read it. I had to take physics classes. The rudiments of this world, the truth of knowledge of this world, the way it works, is it works the way God says it does. It works the way God has designed it to work. It's not an accident. Philosophy, well, that word actually translates knowledge, but figuratively, it is usually used in the scripture as Jewish sophistry. So I had to look that up. Well, you know. You do this, you know. That's what dictionaries are for, because there's people explaining in English that I don't understand sometimes. But what they're talking about here in sophistry is using a false argument that sounds good.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Oh, my. I am surrounded by that. And it's not Jewish right now. It's just, it's Baptist. It's Methodist. It's Episcopalian. I didn't know what Maundy Thursday was. M-A-U-N-D-Y. But they're advertising it. Well, Catholics call it Holy Thursday. Because you got to have something between or something before Good Friday. I don't know, you know. Holy Thursday. Maundy Thursday. M-A-U. And they spelled it wrong the first time. Debbie told me what it was. I did check on the internet, but they have got so much stuff out there. False argument. For everything they believe in. And they start from a false premise and they build to a false conclusion. Because they're starting with a lie. Whether it's free will or anything else. If you're basing your argument on a false supposition, they suppose it's true. You're going to come up with a false conclusion. Because if you start off with your free will, you're going to have to end up with God needs you to help him save you. That ain't what this book says. That is certainly not what this apostle wrote. He writes, beware. And there's a reason to beware. But this Jewish sophistry talked about basically false arguments which sound correct. About speculative inquiries. How many angels can fit on the head of a pin? How big is hell? Who are the 144,000? Well, the Jehovah's Witnesses got an answer for that, but that's wrong. The scripture has an answer for that, and it's right. But there are people who will speculate and who will deal in minute detail with all these things and leave unanswered the large answers, the large questions. Who is Christ? Whose son is he? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Because it doesn't matter to me what you think. But it does matter to you what you think. It matters to me what I think. This is an individual salvation. But there are people who have, it talks about them having itching ears. They have itching ears, and guess what? They've heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. I was listening to a fellow on a recording, and he talked about his daughter goes to this church for school, Christian school. And every week when he picks her up, and once a week, when they have new CDs of what this guy's preaching at this place, and he picks it up and he listens to it, and it's mostly heresy. He says, oh, listen to what this guy does. And he thinks about, and he said it, all those poor people. This is what all they hear. This is all the truth they hear. And in a sense, that's true. But in another sense, they're very happy where they are.
Yeah.
They are exactly where they want to be. Now, I know they are exactly where God put them. But they are exactly where they want to be. And trust me, if they're unhappy, they'll leave. Because there's another church right down the road teaching just about the same thing. That God needs you to help him save him. Save yourself. God will not. It's an unwritten law because it's not written in here. God will not violate your free will. That's what they teach. That's what they believe. And that's what their conclusions come from. My will was mine. If God did not supersede it, overcome it, break it, my will would have sent me to hell. That's the only place it was going to send me. Because I was happy right where I was. I was happy hearing what I was hearing, and it wasn't the truth. Paul says, beware of these things, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It starts with something minor, and it can't go anywhere but downhill from there. But here in chapter 3, Paul speaking, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Now I looked at this. In verse 8 where it says, but now ye also put off all these. That's one word. In verse 9 where it says, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. That's another word. The first one means to put away, to cast off. The second one where it says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man, that means to divest wholly, to divest completely. And I wondered about this, and then I thought of Romans 6 and verse 2. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And then I look back at verse 7, Paul wrote it again. In the which ye also walk sometime, what? When ye lived in them. But now put off. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him. That word put on means to clothe yourself. This is what we are to take to ourselves. There are some things we are to do. But he gives us the reason why we do them in that same verse. We have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, those two words, him, it is the same word except for one's in the male, one's in the female. Let you know they're two different people. The new man is renewed in knowledge after the image of Christ, who created what? The new man. And in that new man, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. And if you look at that in the translation, the word is interpolated, but it says, but all and in all, Christ. Put on therefore as the elect of God. I'm sorry, we have to talk about election. Holy and beloved. Who's Paul talking to? Those with a new man are the elect, holy and beloved. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, charity, which is the bond of perfectness, which is the bond of completeness. Love. Love one another. Love for one another. Love for Christ. God is love. And His love is shed abroad in our hearts. We are told to put off these things. Verse 5 of chapter 3. Mortify therefore your members, is what he was talking about, which are upon the earth. And he gives a list: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And say, come on you. Come on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. There is a change in the child of God. There is a new man. Now the old man we put off, we mortify, but the flesh we still have with us. But thank God, by His grace, we no longer live there. I said it before, I'll say it again. We are the only ones who know the old nature and the new nature, because we are the only ones who have been given the new nature, the new man. We are the only ones who have the new man, and thereby, because we have this new man, we understand, Mason, the old man far better than the world will ever know it. Amen. They can't know it. That's the way they are. And they live for philosophy and vain deceit, the tradition of men, and they live for the rudiments of this world. And you, if you're in Christ, and you've been brought to Christ, you do not. We don't live there. I've got some of that knowledge still in my head. It amazes me sometimes. As much as I have forgotten, it amazes me sometimes how much I remember that I don't really want to. And the things I want to remember, I can't. But that knowledge that I had up until Christ did something for me has become entirely and completely secondary. Amen. It has been superseded. Now, I still know not to stick my finger in a light socket, and I'm not going to do that. But the thing is, I know who made electricity. I may not know how it works, but I know that it does work. Everything that I know now, came from Him. It all came from Him. Even the rudiments of this world. And this new man brings with it new actions. Because it says you put off the old man and his deeds. The old man has actions. The new man has actions too. And those are the actions I want. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. That's an action. Forbearing one another. Forgiving one another. And if anybody's got a quarrel with any, let them forgive as Christ forgave you, freely, completely, without prejudice, without hard feelings. Treat your brother the way you want to be treated. And love one another. The new man does lead to new actions. Now, where these actions come from? This list sounds awful familiar. So, Galatians 5:18. I love this verse. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But, that's another conjunction, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. The new man leads to new actions.
Yes.
But it's the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes. Yes.
It's not the fruit of you.
No.
You get it, but it didn't come from you. You do these things, but they don't come from you.
Yeah.
We all still have the works of the flesh. But all of the sons and the daughters of God who have been brought in Christ, regenerated and converted, are given the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Put them on. Embrace them. Clothe yourself in these. And if you're busy clothing yourself in these, it'll keep your flesh a little occupied. There is an old man, but I thank God and His Son, Jesus Christ, there is a new man.
Amen.
In every child of God that He has brought to Himself. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It is put in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That's a blessing. Debbie was looking at something. We were looking at something Paul wrote about speaking with grace, so that you can answer different people. Basically, you don't have to browbeat the children of God. If you have to threaten somebody with hell to get them to behave, there might be a problem with that person. Now, I'm not saying we're perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not saying I'm perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But I do thank God I'm not just the old man that I was. In Him, He has given us all things. And in the new man, He has actually given us these things. Clothe yourselves in them. And walk in the Spirit. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this place and this time. But most of all, thankful for Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who did come and live perfectly, holy life, and offered Himself as the spotless sacrifice, the perfect substitution, and took upon Him our sins. You laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And He bore those sins in His body on the tree. He died and He was resurrected. He's ascended and He ever liveth to make intercession, sitting at the right hand of the Father. you. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.